Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul with your host, Dr. Valerie N. Parker, businesswoman, author, speaker, and life coach. Dr. Parker is the president of Arise by VMP, which is a speakers bureau and public relations company. She is also the visionary and founder of the Soul of a Woman Foundation that brings awareness to domestic violence and children living in single-parent homes. Hot Topics from the Soul is a virtual lifeline to the community, discussing social and political issues, relationships, finances, motivation, and inspiration. For information regarding products, services, and resources, visit www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I now present to you your host, Dr. Valerie Parker.
Well, good evening and welcome to another Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm excited to be here with you this evening. As Steve said, I invite you to visit www.fromthesoulofawoman.com, and there you'll find my new book, Unlimited Possibilities. You can go there and order that. And also, Soul Retreat 2014 is September 12th and 13th, where we're transforming lives for the future. Have a great lineup. So visit the website from thesoulofawoman.com, and you'll be able to find all that information on there. We have an exciting show tonight. Tonight begins our first series on honoring our fathers. June 15th is Father's Day, and you know a lot of fathers have gotten a raw deal, but there are many fathers that are holding it down, anchoring in, and doing what they're supposed to do as it relates to their children. And I thought it only be fitting that we roll it out with the first family of motivation, Mr. Les Brown and his sons Calvin, Patrick, and John Leslie Brown will be joining and tuning in tonight. Calvin, are you there?
Yes, I am, Dr. Valerie.
I'm so excited to have you now. I met you first. Now, I'm getting some feedback, so if someone has a computer playing with the show, I need that muted because we're getting that into the feed. Now, I'm so excited about you being on the show and along with your brothers because of the fact that, you know, you guys showed up and you're single parents. And what's so exciting about that is the fact that you have girls. You and your brother Patrick raised two daughters. So how was that?
It's a very different experience. I'd never had sons, but a few things in my life had to drastically change in order for me to raise my girls. A lot of things that I used to do, I simply couldn't do anymore, which was fine by me. But, you know, when I was a child, I did as a child did, but I wanted to be a man, but those kids helped me become a better man and made me be a man, because there are things that you just can't do around girls that you could do around boys, or you just can't do around kids in general. So my life drastically changed. The hanging out had to stop. I had responsibilities that needed to be taken care of, and it's not a matter of, you can't do it part-time. You've got to do it all the way, and that's what was important to me, making sure my girls had a foundation and that they knew who their father was and that we had a loving relationship and a loving home.
That's excellent. You know, there are 70.1 million fathers in the nation today, and 1.7 million are single fathers. And when I read that and looked up those statistics, I was like, you know, the men are really getting a raw deal, because I know my father was there for me when I was a young girl growing up. I learned how to cook, how to clean, how to, you know, do my homework. One of the main things that my father used to get on me about was my math. I mean, he used to beat my hand and said, you know, for me to get those statistics out. And I remember looking up at him one night and saying, I don't know why this is so important, because I'm not going to use it anyway. And he says, little girl, he always called me little girl. He says, little girl, you have to get an education. You have to stay focused, and you have to learn how to take care of yourself, because you cannot rely on a man to take care of you. And who's to say if you're going to get married? And I said, well, I'm going to get married. I'm going to have somebody else take care of me like you're taking care of me. And he was like, but anyway, he made sure that I got my education, and he taught me how to love and how to treat a man. So I do honor and salute my father for being there, that strong force in my life. How was it for you, Calvin, with your girls when it came down to dating?
I guess I'm a little bit different than I knew that I didn't want my parents to choose for me, and I couldn't choose for them. The best thing that I could do was be an example of what I wanted them to date. At least have someone that was educated. They saw me in the kitchen cooking. Matter of fact, they would be disappointed. At a certain time, I came home. If they would watch like Entertainment Tonight, if that came on around 7 o'clock, if I wasn't home, my pager would blow up. They would call my job, and later on they would call my cell phone because they expected me to be home because that is what I did. So because of what they saw their father did, they're not going to allow another man to be out in the streets all hours of the night because they should be home with their families. They're not going to have to be in the kitchen 24/7. I cook, and I see what my daughters now, you know, they're adults now. When they date a guy, they make them say, look, you got to cook me a meal every now and then. And that's because they saw me in the kitchen. They saw me in the kitchen cooking. They still want to come over now and think that I should be cooking like when they were here when they were little girls. But they're grown women now, so I don't do as much cooking as I used to, but I still do it for them. So I think by setting that example in the home, I think that sets the example of the type of man that they seek out. So they're seeking out the proper things in them and not the bad things and not the things they missed in me from a man. They're the most positive images that I could give them.
That's excellent. Don Leslie Brown.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Don Leslie, and you're a new father.
Yes, I am. I am proud to be a new dad of a 8-month-old baby boy.
Wow. Now, were you there when he was born?
Not only was I there when he was born, I was there during every ultrasound. I was there interviewing the midwife. I was there during the contractions, and I was just reflecting. It's interesting, you were talking to Calvin. Calvin says that he didn't have any sons, but he raised me as well. So I remember hearing a story from my mother who, you could just say, spoiled me a bit. And she said the first time they ever just let me cry, it was because Calvin forced them just to sit there and hold me in my walker until I quieted down. So he had experience with the girls and the boys.
So, go ahead, Calvin.
I said, well, you know, that was a long time ago, and now he has his own son.
Now, Calvin, and you're the oldest, correct?
That is correct. I am the eldest, the namesake, Leslie Calvin Brown Jr.
Now, John Leslie, being a new father, what do you aspire to do, especially watching your brothers and your father being a strong force in your life? You know, what attributes are you looking to pass down to your son?
Right now, being a part of such a beautiful family, the first family of motivation, I feel so grateful that I wasn't the first one out like Calvin, but the last one out. I had the only one I had to worry about was my sister Serena, because she was a little bully when I was younger. But besides that, I had it really good. So learning everything that I've seen from my father, who's not just one of the greatest speakers in the world, but also a great father. Speaking of cooking, he doesn't only cook when he's on the stage. I remember one of the rare times in Chicago before I went to school at Marva Collins Preparatory School. For about a month and a half, he would get up early and make some runny eggs for me. And Dr. Valerie, these runny eggs, they didn't taste good, but the love inside made me eat them. okay?
Wow.
It wasn't anything like Mrs. Mamie Brown sweet potato pie, but it inspired me to go to school and with a smile on my face, because that was big and that was a stretch. So I would say my main priority right now as a new dad, and it comes from something that I learned from my brother Patrick, and it talks about, he told me one time that the key to generational wealth is nepotism. And Dr. Valerie, I'm all about building generational wealth right now and passing generational wealth on to the next generation of the Brown family.
Well, see, that's why I said the first family of motivation was the perfect family to have on Hot Topics from the Soul. And speaking about Patrick, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
I am delighted to hear you. How are you, Patrick?
I'm doing wonderful. Yourself?
Good. You know, I heard from your brother Calvin. He's on the show tonight, and you have daughters that you raised as a single parent. And one of the things I asked them was, how was that being a dad raising girls?
It was quite the learning experience, should I say.
Now, Calvin is the oldest, so did you get some pointers from him?
Did I get any pointers from Calvin? I guess you could say we were, our mother raised us together, so we were raised by the same woman, so we have the same ethic or code when it comes to raising our children. And my father's, like, always been a part of my life as well. So being a parent or what have you with my daughters, it was just a natural thing. I mean, I can really imagine not being a part of my children's lives. Having somebody walk the planet that looks like me and has my personality and me not being a part of their lives is kind of, that's just preposterous to me. So being a parent, I guess, has been, I can say with young ladies, I learned a lot about myself. It was a growing experience, and actually it's still a process, because once your children become adults, you no longer can actually give them, all you can do then is provide financial and advice. So I'm at that stage now, which is still a challenge, because your children never outgrow you.
Hear, hear on that. Now Calvin. Now, children are older? Yours, correct?
My children are the oldest. They were the firstborns.
Okay, so you became a single parent first, or was it Patrick after you, or was it simultaneously?
No, I became a single father first, and then Patrick came in. And but we have two daughters apiece, and now, like Patrick said, they're adults, and it's a continually learning experience, because your kids don't outgrow you, and they want things like, it's interesting, they want to do what they want to do, but they also want to turn back the hands of time. They would love to come over and see Kool-Aid in the refrigerator and all the snacks that they grew up with. And that's certainly not, I don't have those snacks in my house anymore. I don't even drink Kool-Aid, which is amazing to me, because I grew up with it. They grew up with it. They can get a bottle of water here. They can get some almond milk. They can get some salmon fish. So it's a challenging time now, because what I can offer them now is some financial assistance, of course, my love and advice. But as adults, they have the choice to take that advice or not take that advice. But it was different in my house. You had to do as I said. So now we're not just a parent-child relationship. It's a friendship. It's a friendship relationship, and we're developing that. And I'm fortunate that my kids still have a lot of respect and love for me. And like Patrick just said, it is still very much a learning experience, because your kids, even though you do raise them, they don't necessarily see the world the way that you see it.
When you were faced with the fact that you had to raise your daughters alone, what was the main thing that what thought that ran through you? Was it fear? Was it, you know, intimidation? Was it, what was it that faced you at that moment where you had to step up?
Well, it just became crystal clear, and many times, and I know there are a lot of women out there that are doing it for themselves, but it became crystal clear in dealing with some of my friends who had kids and seeing women who had kids and doing it by themselves that it's a maturity issue. In my case, I realized that I had kids and had to grow up and had to do responsible things, and that's what I did. A lot of times the men don't want to do that. They still want to be boys and hang out and play games. So it wasn't necessarily fear. It was like, oh, this is not going the way I thought it would go. So in my mind as a younger man, I probably would have some people say, I sexist thought, oh, it's no big deal. You know, I'll still be able to hang. All I got to do is bring home the bacon. The woman will take care of the kid. Well, the reality was that wasn't going to happen. I need to bring home the bacon. I need to make sure that my kids were taken care of. That meant I had to buy the clothes, provide financially. And I was not just their main source of income. I was their main parent. I wasn't necessarily scared of it, but it was like, this is just not how it was supposed to be. It wasn't supposed to work out this way. Whereas like where my mother and father divorced, even though I didn't see my father as much, he was always a part of my life. He's a part of my life, and so that was never an issue. My mother loved me enough. My father loved me enough. I spent summers with my father, and I knew. So they kind of switched off, and I had weekends with my father. The situation that I was in, that just was not going to happen, and I was like, this just is not how I planned it. You know, you kind of have in your mind this thing, the way you want your life to go. And it was just one of those bumps in the road, and it just wasn't going the way I planned it. And I had to step up, be more responsible. It was more than, okay, I can't just spend money on me, which meant I couldn't have the expensive tennis shoes, the expensive clothes, or the jewelry that I wanted. I had responsibilities, so, you know, I had to take care of them.
You know, statistics say also on daddies.com that 16% of single fathers earn an income of $50,000 a year. That's their basic income. Rather, they have two, three, or four children. That is their takeaway income. So, Patrick, you know, being that you were a single parent, a young man with young children, and what I know about you guys personally are that y'all work for your own. Y'all don't you never relied on daddy, which is Les Brown, to, you know, throw down money or undergird you. You guys were always independent and you worked for your own. How challenging was that on you with minimum income?
Actually, it was very challenging. Although, you know, if ever I do need a lifeguard, my father always has been there for me. But for the most part, I have always been one that provided. And that was one of the biggest struggles, actually, because, as my father would say, I had more end of the month than I had money left at the end of the month. So it was really a challenge. I had one point in time where every month I was guaranteed to be in the negative, but you just work it out, pay the insufficient funds, and keep it moving. And, you know, just make it work. And that was a big sacrifice. And actually it made me appreciate the sacrifice that my parents had made for me along the way and make me really realize and see, like, wow, I really took a lot of things for granted, and I definitely no longer do. As like I said, and I learned a deeper respect and admiration for what my mother and my father did for me.
Did you ever at any point either of you say, let's ship them to the grandparents?
That would have been nice.
I actually tried that. My mother has like a 24-hour rule. So I could drop my children off on Friday, but I had to be back to get them at Saturday at 10 a.m. So I never really had that option. That was one of those realities I had to deal with.
You know, it would have been nice. And on the other hand, now, I lived in Miami, and many times I lived with my grandmother. So my grandmother loved my kids. So that would have been easy to do. But the reality of it is my grandmother raised my father, and I spent summers with my grandmother. She was just not – she was not supposed to be raising my kids, and that just really wasn't an option for me. And they would go see the grandmother from their mother's side of the family. They spent some time over there, and they enjoyed that, but more than – but they want – they'd be called, "Daddy, when you coming to get us?" They were ready to come – they were ready to come home. And, you know, it is what it is. You have to be responsible. The one thing – the biggest learning experience that I can tell you what kids will make you do, they will make you – really, really appreciate what your parents did for you, and they will make you count your money. I remember a time when I could tell you what I could do with $20 back in the day. Say, okay, I know I'd get me some Pampers, a can of Similac, because I've had my kids since they were very little, can of Similac and a couple cans of Similac, a 20-pack of Pampers and some baby food, and we're good to go. We're good to go for the week until that next paycheck. So I knew where my money went. And then I was also fortunate, you know, I had a job. I could have made more money doing other things, because when you have kids, you need benefits. So I stayed on that job, and I hear people saying, I ain't got to take that. Well, when I had those two kids, I had to take that because it was important that I had medical benefits to take care of my children and to take care of myself. So you realize a lot of things when you're raising kids, things you have to take, and you gladly do it for the love and for the sake of your children.
You know, I'm glad to hear you guys say that, because of the fact that the sacrifices that you made are the same ones that mothers make on a regular basis. There are times that the mother stays and the father is the one that goes AWOL. But now you are sounding off loud and clear, you know, saying, no, we're men and we're here, and the women were not there. They left. They abandoned the situation, but I stayed. And not only, a lot of times you hear fathers that are staying because they have sons. It's easier for a man to say, well, I can raise my son, but how easy would it be for the daughters? John Leslie, if you were in that situation, would it be any easier? I know you're not a single parent, because your spouse is there, but how difficult do you think it would be for you, because you're a young man?
Well, let me tell you about this. First of all, you could tell how different the times are, because $20 can't get you two packs of diapers now, and not a formula nowhere, okay?
Right.
They got, and secondly, I was so happy that we had a baby shower, because that was like an African-American bar mitzvah for me. We were good for the first several months, but if I had several daughters, more than one child, okay, I just think that any parent with more than one child that has to change more than one behind at a time deserves a badge of honor from somewhere, because it's difficult. It's tough. And let me tell you, I was one of those potential dads that thought, hey, I could deal with a young man, or really I could deal with a young guy that could catch, you know, give me catching age. But I just did not think that I wanted to change any diapers. But after you deal with the process of becoming a father, and it doesn't really start after the child is born, there's such a learning curve leading up to day one. And for me, I remember waking up in the middle of the night, blowing up a birthing pool, waiting hours for him to arrive, leaving, trying to distract her, going to the movie theaters, okay, and watching The Butler. And during this historic picture, my son, whose name is Honor, by the way, his name is Honor, he was ready to come out. And the moment that I cut that cord and he squeezed his little hands around my finger, and his fingernails were so soft when he squeezed my hand, they kind of curled up, all of the things that I thought about being a father went out of the window. And I just fell madly in love with this little person who is drooling and walking around right now, crawling around, rather.
So it was a rewarding, liberating experience.
Yes, but if he was a twin, then one would have to go to a potential Mamie Brown. I'm just letting you know.
Now, we're in the 20th century, and you're already talking about bailing out with just one child. And here your brothers had to do two. And they, Patrick and Calvin, your daughters are close in age, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah.
My daughter's I'm a grandfather now.
Yeah, you're a grandfather, Calvin. Now, how is that, and were you there in the midst of that?
Oh yeah, I was there, but my daughter, she was in the delivery room with her and the baby's father. They were there together, and I was waiting there. It was interesting to see him born. He's a cute little guy. He's a bundle of energy. Everyone says he looks like me, but it's a beautiful thing. Yeah, that's what everyone says. It's a beautiful thing, and it's interesting. Like, Miyasha brings him by, and I'll keep him for a few hours while she runs some errands and things. And she calls to check up when she's gone like 4 or 5 hours. And I'm like, Miyasha, I had two of y'all. Well, you never had a boy before. And so, you know, like, I can take care of kids. That's one thing I can know how to do. So it's no big deal to me as far as taking care of them. But I have a ball. It just blows my mind that now that I have a child who has a child. And that my father was a great-grandfather, you know. So it's a beautiful time right now. And I'm blessed still to have my father. I'm blessed to have positive relationships with my daughters. And I know I'm going to have a great relationship with my grandson, Eric. We call him E3. He's Eric the III.
So how would you say it compares with the difference between raising your daughters versus your grandson, which you can put instead as your son?
Because I'm just getting started because he's 6 months. Yeah, he just turned 6 months old. I'm just getting started, but I know that I wrestled and fought with my daughters, and they always still try to jump on me for no reason. And I'm going to wrestle and fight with him too. So it's probably some differences. I'm sure there's going to be differences because I know with my daughters, as they got older, they tell me, you just don't understand. You're not a girl. Fashion things and things. When they were little, I could buy them what I wanted and they didn't say anything. But as they became young ladies, like, I'm not wearing that. You don't know anything about clothes. So if things change as they get older, I'm sure I'll be a little more able to handle my grandson as far as clothes and things because I'm a male and not a female. But
that was going to be one of the questions I was going to ask about the shopping for the clothes.
Oh yeah, shopping and clothes. I'm not going to say, oh, I did it by myself. No, I had help. I had my Aunt Margaret Ann. I had a girlfriend at the time, a great friend of mine, Wanda. We're still friends to this day. And I had help along the way. Or I'd go in the store. Well, they don't have Jay Byron's anymore, at least not where I'm living now in Jacksonville. But I would go in there and I'd get help from the sales lady, and they'd see me there, and they'd be more than willing to help out. So I've had a lot of help along the way, and I'm grateful for it. And then my youngest daughter, Miyasha, she's just a diva. She's always been in the clothes and the makeup. She would go change clothes 3 and 4 times a day when we would be home on a weekend, want to dress up for dinner. So she has her own style, and as her style began to get, they would get together and they would create styles and clothes for themselves and pick things out. So they still became nice young ladies instead of just having the rough edges that I gave them. And they had to deal with some of my hairstyles back in the day. But they managed to get through it, and I managed to get through it, too. We're better for it.
What about you, Patrick? How was your buying experience for your daughters?
For me, I actually was very excited about having daughters. So, like, when I had my first child, I literally had this idea of dressing my daughter in a different outfit for 30 days straight. So
what?
I used to climb up. Yeah. I was just really excited I had a child. I mean, I always had this dream of having really fresh clothes for your kids and having them dressed real nice. So every day my child would be completely bathed, you know, the baby oil, the baby lotion, the powder, and then a new outfit every day. And as they got older, I would find myself going to the mall to shop for myself and find myself in the little girl section looking at little flower dresses or what have you. I kind of really enjoyed doing the whole parenting thing as far as going shopping because my daughters love clothes. My oldest daughter, by the time she was six, she had told me all she wanted was dresses and shiny shoes. So she became really easy to fix after that. She was just a little lady. And I just, like, really had, like I said, as well as my mother, she always was very fashionable. And my mom always knew the extra special stuff, like the kids got to, like, the 13. My mother actually would tell the kids they're getting to the age they could shop for themselves, and they all told her that they wanted to continue having her buy their clothes because everything she picked was just so perfect. So I've always had a good fashion sense with my mom, so I've always enjoyed it. It was great. That was actually one of the better times actually going out and buying. Never go wrong buying girls' clothes.
Okay, well, who took care of the hair, Calvin and Patrick? Who did the girls' hair?
Well, Go ahead, Patrick. Well, I actually took my daughter. Her great grandmother had a niece that used to do hair. So I used to take my daughters over there, or take my daughter over to her aunt's house, and they would take care of hair. And I absolutely do not do hair. I do two ponytails. That's about it. I put them in rubber bands, and we ride out.
Well, I'm laughing that was the best I could do too. Two ponytails. I was like, God, thank you for giving them hair. Yeah, I was fortunate my girls had long hair, so I could catch them up in ponytails and we good to go. But I could not do any hair. I was so grateful for my sons; they were so low maintenance. What about you, Calvin?
My girlfriend at the time wanted to do the hair. I had a cousin named my cousin Linda, another cousin named Ashley that would do the hair. My grandmother while she was still living would do the hair. But most certainly rock ponytails and as they call those big dookie plaits on the side. But I definitely did their hair. But as they got older, Miyasha would do her own hair. But I had, like I said, I had a lot of help. I was fortunate, and I was very, very fortunate that way.
John Leslie, with your son Honor, and you know, given the fact that you've had the opportunity to share the stage with your father, create product, and, you know, be on the platform yourself, tell me, what is it going to be like now that you have a child that you have to consider? What do you think that your life is going to be, or what roles are you going to turn now?
That's a great question. I think that my whole life has been centered around empowering the youth. It's been around continuing the family legacy and really making sure that the message and the principles that I learned growing up from my father and from my brothers and from my great sisters, that they continue on. And it's one thing talk about empowering children, but it's another thing looking into the eyes of your own child. That's a deep, deep, deep feeling. That type of connection, that type of bond is something that is difficult to articulate, but easy to understand. And right now, when Patrick mentioned generational wealth to me, and when you hear Calvin talking about having my aunt Margaret bring clothes together, the thing that keeps in mind is it takes a village. And when young people get older, they often feel the necessary to go out on their own to make a way for themselves in the world. But a lot of times we forget the power of the family. we forget the power of unity of the people and the talented, gifted people that we grew up with. So one of the first things that I did, the moment that it was safe for Young Honor to get on the plane, I went to the East Coast. I wanted to make sure that he got a chance to meet his brother Patrick and his sister Serena, his brother Calvin, and I wanted to make sure that he got a chance to be in their environment and to go to the places where my father launched his motivational and political careers. So for me, it's about carrying the torch. And to me, the torch is five principles that I think everyone, every father, every child, every family should begin to implement in order to make it in the global economy.
And what are some of the points that you would give, being that you're fresh at the game and things that you are going to forge forward in your own life?
Well, yes. One, this is one of the things that I've learned, especially from my brothers and sisters. See, the T in torch, it stands for timeless. The torch is timeless, okay? Young Calvin, he became a father at an early age, too, because he looked out for me. Patrick, he would come in towns and go to my basketball games just to be there. And as entrepreneurs, as young people going into the workplace, it's easy to lose your patience and want to rush out there without having a clear plan. So I would advise for anyone, any new family member, anyone with any new dream, to realize that the torch is timeless. The impact that you can make in the world, that your destiny, whatever you're reaching for, it's timeless, it's there. But make sure that you keep the people close to you that mean the most to you. Make sure you keep your family close. Make sure that you surround yourself with people that aren't just there when the things that are up in life, but the mentors that could take you further. The other principle is the O. It stands for to outlive the pain. We all go through some pain in our lives, some things, some situations that happen where we might not have imagined that this would happen. And Patrick, what do you suggest when you've had some difficult times? What should people do to try to overcome the pain? Because it's easy to get depressed and to start to beat down on yourself when you do not have the resources, when you can't get your daughter the flashy shoes and put her in a new dress every day. What do you suggest people do, Patrick, in order to overcome some of the challenges of today?
And building the challenges, I would say, mainly a lot of prayer and keeping the faith and keep working. Just keep pressing on regardless of what's taking place around you. And I used to find a lot of solace or a lot of grounding just talking to my kids. Actually, some days I would have really bad days, not figuring how we were going to get through. And one of my daughters would look at me and be like, "Daddy, I love you." Or give me a call from your grandmother's house or something. And it would just completely just melt all the way, all the anguish and whatever stress that I was dealing with. And I'd be like, okay, I can do this. Matter of fact, I have to do this because I have children that love me and they depend on me, and I'm like a Superman to them. And so, therefore, I have to keep fighting on, and I would just suggest that people continue and to study and keep growing and finding ways to further yourself and make connections with people that are willing to help you, because if you're looking for help, there's always someone that's willing to assist you if you're trying to help yourself.
That is so true, and you're a Superman to me too, big brother. And you led me to the next point, which is the R, which stands for reach beyond. And one of the things that we have to do as young males, we know that only 6% of African-American males are heads of households, that we've got to keep reaching. We've got to keep reaching for financial security. We've got to keep reaching for developing relationships that can be an asset to us as opposed to a liability. And we've got to keep reaching for success. And I know, Calvin, that you have been able to not only be a great dad, but transition to be a great, consistent, dedicated businessman as well. And so what would you say to some fathers who have goals out there but also have financial obligations? What advice would you give them to keep on reaching?
Well, for them to keep on reaching, you have to have a couple guiding principles. And for me, it is what, no matter what, I'm going to take care of my children no matter what. And once you get that set in your mind, that means you're going to get up, you're going to go to work, you're going to keep reaching to be better than just your job, you're going to reach for any entrepreneurial things that you can do, but no matter what, you're going to take care of your child. Every situation is not ideal. You know, you would like a better relationship with the mother, and you're saying, well, I don't have to take that. Well, you know what? It's not so big deal taking that, because it's more important. Maybe you put up a little whiff from the ex, and the relationship is not perfect, but it's more important, far more important, no matter what, that you have a positive relationship with your child and that your child knows that you love and care for them, even because sometimes you get in a situation where the father can't see the child because of distance or whatever, but they're paying child support. Well, don't just pay child support. Put a gift in the mail so that child knows that you care and love, because the most profoundly damaged people I know are people who did not have their fathers involved in their lives. So most important, no matter what, you make it your guiding up that you're going to, principle, that you're going to take care of your child. And that means that there's a lot of stress that you go through doing that when you and the ex are not getting along, when things are not going well in the job, and things are just not going well in your life. But you meet that your guiding principle, no matter what, I am going to take care of my child.
That is such a key point, and we know that your attitude determines your altitude. And so in order to keep reaching, Dr. Valerie, my big brother just said you got to have a no-matter-what attitude. And I think that's the R in torch. So you have the torch is timeless. You've got the timeless values, the timeless principles that you have to keep as your guiding star. And to outlive the pain, Patrick made a very key point. You better learn how to pray. You better learn how to go within. You better learn how to be still and listen to the small, still voice within, to not let a moment of anger make cause you to make a decision that has a lasting effect. And once you continue to do that, you will keep reaching beyond when you have a no matter what attitude, no matter what they say about me, no matter what the odds are, no matter what happened in school, no matter what happened in the past or what's happening in the economy, I don't have a bill in here. I have a responsibility not to just take care of my family, but to carry the torch, to keep reaching to live my dreams. And in order to do that, it takes courage. And my dad says that knowledge is the new currency, but I believe that knowledge without courage, it doesn't even matter if you take that to the bank. So I believe that courage is the new currency too. And it takes courage not to run away from your family. It takes courage to pick up the phone and say and apologize to somebody that you had an argument with. It takes courage to go and take a job that you're overqualified for just because you know it will put food on the table. And it takes courage to miss out on jobs that you're overqualified for because you know that you should spend your efforts in a different time. But I believe that the men in this generation are not just here to become great tweeters or Facebook-like activists, but that they can use some courage to carry the torch. And that happens when you have higher standards. And I know Calvin Brown. I know him very well. I know him because he used to take me to school. I know him because he used to watch me do my homework. I know Patrick because he taught me how to shoot a basketball. He taught me how to talk to girls. He bought me my first set of condoms, okay? These are my brothers, and they have higher standards. And I just want to know from you, Dr. Valerie, in terms of what do you think it takes as your advice dealing with it. We know you're a great parent. We know I've been there and seen the healthy, holistic environment that you've made for your daughters. What do you think, as an advice to young males, what could they do in order to maintain higher standards and not just throw in the towel too soon on the challenge of fatherhood?
Well, you know, they need to be, I think they should be present and show up. One of the things that I liked and admired about my father is he was passionate about his role as being a parent. He considered the welfare of not only me but my siblings. And when it came down to it, he taught me how to comb my hair. He taught me how to how to drive. He got me my first car. And, you know, not only the material things, but I, one of the things I said when I opened the show was that my father taught me how to love. He taught me how to be committed. And one of the things I recognized and knew about my father was that he was committed to his role as being a father. He knew that it was his responsibility to look after the family, and he did that. He was really, he worked 2 and 3 jobs. He cleaned offices at night. He had a full-time job, and then he drove buses, and, you know, he did whatever he could. And then he came home, and he cooked, and he cleaned, and showed us how to cook and clean while Mom was at work, because she had the swing shift working at the hospital and stuff. So standing in the gap, just being there. I know a lot of fathers is like they don't go and see their children because they say there is no money, the finances are tight, and they don't want to come to that child because they don't have anything financially to give. But if you just show up, just be present. Just come, like if Patrick came to your games, he taught you how to shoot hoops, just be there. Put in the time, put in the work to stand in the gap. And I think that's the best that anyone could do. That's what you all did. You stood there in the gap. You didn't make excuses for why the other person wasn't doing what they were supposed to do. You did what you had to do and more. And because of that, you have successful children that are doing well and progressing, and they will turn out to be good parents as well. So I do honor and salute you all, and thank you so much for joining in on the show. And I'm going to open up the lines for those that have questions and comments, and I want everyone to refrain from asking any personal questions outside of what we're talking about. Just give your name and the question and who it's directed to. Caller 7001, you're live.
Hello, everyone. Calvin, Patrick, and John Leslie. This is Shirley Carter. I commend, I salute you guys. You are an example of what fathers should be today. And I think it was a great show. And for you guys to be so transparent and share your experience, your fears, and you're trying. I think, every father should be listening to this, every young father. You are a true example of what fathers should be today. I salute you all.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. But we're just doing what we should be doing and what comes natural.
Because we had a great father as well. So thank you very much.
No doubt.
Yeah, I always call him Big Papa, and I call him that because of the fact that he kind of takes care of everyone by pushing them to forge into their destiny to be the best person they can be, rather male or female. He speaks to the soul of individuals, and you're actually replicas of who he is. So I thank you for being in tune and carrying that torch as well. Caller 2175, you are live.
Hi, everybody. My name is Marie, and I salute you guys. I tell you, I was just thinking, and I'm like, my God, if my son just had, was able to live right now and be here, you guys would be the ones that I would have to have him around. And I tell you, I was just thinking about my nephew, children's, because my nephew take care of his kids. And I'm like, my God, it's just, I just got to find a way so that they can be able to be at one of you all's classes. Because I've been to one of your father's classes, and it was, oh, my God. I just cried at night because I had never heard or felt that good about myself. And you all are making me feel the same identical way. It makes you the way you talk and the things that you say and the way that you was raised and how everything, that you all went through. And it's so great to hear our black men be able to say this, because my nephew, he take care of his kids. Him and his wife is still together, but he do most of the cooking, taking care of the kids, making sure that they go to school and everything. And you know, and I feel so good about it because I was in his life, you know, coming up, you know, as he grew up, I was in his life. And he always, you know, look at Auntie, you know, real good. So, you know, and I just thank you all.
And
Bella,
so much for calling in.
And Dr. Parker, I really thank you for letting me share that.
Thank you so much for calling in. Well, we're almost out of time, and I want Calvin, if you would start, and then Patrick and John Leslie, if you have closing remarks and advice or anything that you can give to the listening audience to empower them. And also remember that this show is being recorded, and you can go to blogtalkradio.com/soultopics and replay it, pass it along to your friends or men that are going through situations with their significant other and their children involved. Remember, it is not about you. It is about the gift God gave you. Calvin?
I would like to finish this off with saying a lot of people see my father as a great speaker and a teacher of things. The most important thing my father ever taught me was, A, how to love and show affection to my brothers and my sisters. Never do I end a conversation with my brother Patrick, my brother John Leslie, or my father that I don't say to them, I love them, when I get off the phone with my sisters. And I just remember a while back going in high school when I was a senior and my father would kiss me before I get out the car. I'd have him pull back so he wouldn't do it in front of people. And, as a man, as I got older, I didn't care anymore because I love my father and I love my brothers, and that's the most important thing to teach your kids, how to love each other and how you love them and express it.
Wow, thank you so much for that. Patrick?
Furthermore, like as far as my father, like thinking of my father, was a great example, for he led by example. He used to drag us from place to place to hear him speak, and watching him help other people, it just, you know, it automatically becomes a part of who you are. That became my raising to motivate people, to help people, to empower people, and to reach out to others. So my greatest advice as far as raising children is, you know, as you would say, being there, loving them regardless. And that was the biggest thing I tried to do, was to be a part of my daughter's lives and let them know that they had a man that supported them and believed in them, and that they could do anything they wanted to. I just constantly fed that into them, as well as give them information about life and what they're going to be dealing with, so that when they face these different challenges, they were prepared to make better choices.
Thank you for that, Patrick. Now, Leslie?
Yes. I just want to say thank you to my brothers, who I really had three fathers, because I had them, and they're so much older than me. I just turned 30, and I'm very excited. Like you said earlier, Dr. Valerie, that I got the privilege, while some kids, they play catch with their dad or go fishing, I got a chance to share the stage with my dad and to change lives. And that did not happen out of any glorious, beautiful type of things. Actually, the first time that I ever spoke, it was not at a fancy venue or a great cathedral. The first time that I ever gave a speech, it was when I was 10 years old. And our grandmother, Mrs. Mamie Brown, on my 10-year-old birthday, she passed away from breast cancer. And it was the most challenging time that we have faced in our family, and we all came together, and we were trying to be strong for Dad, but inside, we knew this day was coming, but still did not know how to deal with it. But a couple of days later, during the funeral, when they asked if anyone wanted to get up and speak, there, at 10 years old, I got up, and I told a story about Mrs. Mamie Brown. And afterwards, my dad looked at me with hopeful eyes, And Dr. Valerie, they probably have some dollar signs in them too, okay? And he said, John Leslie, son, there's greatness within you. There's a calling on your life. You will help carry the torch to the next generation. And when he said, son, there's greatness within you, I had no idea that I would be the highest paid teen speaker in America by the age of 14. I had no idea that I would travel nationally and internationally and develop programs that help and motivate and inspire our youth. But I want you all to know out there that are listening, the young fathers, the parents, the families, because Calvin saw something in me, because Patrick saw something in me to come to my games when I only put up 4 points. Listen, there's greatness within you. Have a no matter what attitude. Don't forget to pray. Don't forget to carry the torch. And I remember one of the gifts I got from Patrick for my birthday, it was a little statue with the basketball, and it had a quote that I went on to do a tour for entrepreneurs, and it said on that quote that 90% of success is showing up. So I agree with you, Dr. Valerie, when you say showing up is the most important principle. So thank you very much for having us on your show, and we're looking forward to expanding hearts and changing lives with you in the future.
Thank you so much. It has definitely been a delight. We're going to continue on next Tuesday as we honor fathers. And I want to say to each one of you, Happy Father's Day. And I want to close with this. God took the strength of a mountain, the majesty of a tree, the warmth of a summer sun, the calm of a quiet sea, the generous soul of nature, the confronting arm of night, the wisdom of the ages, the power of the eagle's flight, the joy of a morning in spring, the faith of a mustard seed, the patience of eternity, the depths of a family's need. Then God combined these qualities when there was nothing more to add. He knew his masterpiece was complete, and so he called it Dad. This has been another Hot Topics from the Soul. And once again, I want to invite you to visit www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. Email me at soultopics@gmail.com. And we look forward to hearing you all again. Patrick, Calvin, and John Leslie Brown, good night and God bless.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us. Bye-bye.
Yes, indeed.
Bye.